Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Talking about money, changing up your retirement program, and building generational wealth for others. All that and more in today's fantastic episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money matters become conversation starters. Let's get talking. In today's episode, we're diving into a topic that's often kept under wraps, but it's crucial for financial success. Talking about money in the workplace. We often spend much of our time around those we work with, yet we don't turn to them for advice on money. Why not? Talking about money in the workplace can seem uncomfortable, but it's a great place to learn from other people and even promote change. The only way that your workplace retirement plan is going to get any better or changed is by talking about it with your coworkers, by expressing what you're unhappy with and things like that. And we're going to talk about that in today's episode. In today's interview with Kevin Benson, founder of Circ, he will join us to discuss how talking about financial matters openly in the workplace can have a profound impact on benefits and especially for educators. We explore why it's essential for educators to engage in conversations about money and the impact of retirement plans like the 403B, the 457B, and how services like Circ are revolutionizing retirement consulting for educators across the nation with different programs all over the United States. But this conversation can extend beyond just educators. Are you heading home from work or heading to work and wondering why your retirement options aren't any good? We'll start talking about it with others. I've been able to promote some change in conversation at my work by talking about money more. I know my coworkers will bounce ideas off of me because they know about my podcast and that I like to talk about money, but I've also been able to talk with HR to get some 401k education for the company. And guess what? The company that runs your 401k is going to be more than happy to provide that education. I've also been trying to get them to consider adding a Roth option to our 401k. And though it hasn't happened yet, simple conversations have been able to get the ball rolling. Whether you're an educator or in any other profession, that's going to be a great way to get things moving. So make sure you're talking about money and make sure to stay tuned for today's great interview and some fantastic content after the interview, as well as I'm going to talk about an article outlining whether DoorDash is worth it or not. But the money talking points for today's episode are: what retirement changes would you like to see at work? And two, how can you start talking about money with coworkers? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Kevin Benson, and we're talking about an SERC, talking about money in the workplace, talking about retirement options. It's going to be a fun conversation today. Kevin, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure. I'm Kevin Benson. I'm the executive director of Cooperative Purchasing Agency and CERC, S-E-R-C, which is the Southern Education Retirement Consortium.
Awesome. Well, yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about 401ks, retirements, and the SERC that you mentioned. I don't really know what that is, so I'm interested to learn, but sure. Let's start off with kind of an initial one where people are sitting in their workplace and they have a money question on their mind. Should people, or is it important to talk about money in the workplace?
It's definitely important to talk about money in the workplace. And having been an educator for most of my life, educators don't like to talk about money. They are very... don't want to hear about it, talk about it, anything like that. They want to put something away and just kind of leave it there and not really worry about it. So having worked for large corporations as well, the conversations in those areas were always more centered on money. Educators just don't really seem to be focused on retirement other than their teacher retirement. So these are very important conversations to have because, depending on where you live and what retirement system you're in Georgia, it's quite good. We get 60% of our two highest years after 30 years for the rest of our life. So if you're making $100,000 a year when you retire, you basically, you're going to make $60,000 a year, and then you'll get a 1.5% cost of living increase every 6 months. So that's pretty good, but compared to other retirements, but if you keep it in perspective, that's a 40% pay cut. How many people can take a 40% pay cut and still be good? So you need some additional pieces in there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're saying like, oh, here's one of the best. But then when you think about it, like if anyone were to say, okay, your retirement option is to make 40% less than than you did. Like that's considerable and something sure. you have to plan for. Is there, I guess, how do people even begin thinking about that difference? Like, should they just rely on the 60% or should you try to fill that gap?
You should definitely try to fill that gap. And the more you fill that gap, the more generational wealth you're building, the more comfort level you're going to have. And again, you know, if you have everything paid off going into retirement, you know, you're mortgage free, you're basically you're debt free going into retirement, then mm-hmm. that 60% may be good. And you definitely have to, as you get towards that retirement, you have to start making those decisions that are going to set you up. But you know, if you get to 30 years and you can't take a 40% pay cut, you may need to continue working. And in many cases with the teacher retirement system, once you get about 34 years, it doesn't really do you. You actually start losing money by staying in there. It's just not mathematically, it's not the best plan.
Yeah.
So, and then Social Security, a lot of teachers, they start teaching when they're 20, 22 years old. And when they have 30 years in, they're 50 to 55 years old. Well, you know, 62 is the earliest you're going to see Social Security if you're going to see it. And so you need, you know, some additional things that are there. Obviously, with 403Bs, you're looking at 59 and a half anyway. But having that extra stockpile still is great to have in place.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, definitely, if you're looking at a 40% pay cut for your retirement, like, while that's nice, like you said, that's one of the better plans, but I wrote down like one of the best plans is a 40% pay cut, which yeah. is something you got to think about and sounds kind of unfortunate, but
sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the CERC or SCRC.
Okay.
Is it similar to a 401k? What is it?
Okay. So CERC is the Southern Education Retirement Consortium. It actually has 403Bs, which is very similar to a 401k. It's just for educators. It also has 457Bs, which are a little more flexible. You don't have to wait until that 59 and a half. We also have a 401A plan, which is for superintendents and executive directors, where the system can put money in for them as well. Mm-hmm. We offer it in traditional and tax-free and or pre-tax, excuse me, and Roth as well. So the Southern Education Retirement Consortium, just to give you an idea how it began. I was an educator for 25 years and the executive director position for Cooperative Purchasing Agency, which is owned by schools, opened up. So I'm going to apply for that. Well, I knew that I had the job. So I was looking at what are other ways that we can help folks. We have a warehouse. We deliver furniture and supplies and stuff to North Georgia. So one of the things that came to mind was, well, what if I could save some folks some money on their retirement stuff? So I was actually having a conversation with a gentleman that worked in one of the largest school systems in the state of Georgia. And we were kind of joking around because I had always worked in smaller systems. So I said, how does it feel to always have the same job as me, but make a lot more money? And, you know, well, then that led us into talking about teacher retirement. Well, then he started talking about his 403B. And he pulls out his phone and he starts showing me the app that shows what he's got in there. And it's mutual funds and it's all this other stuff. So all of a sudden, I'm like, how do you have mutual funds? I have an annuity product. And, you know, and he started talking about rates. I'm like, his rates are a lot better than what I'm paying. So I was like, OK, well, I thought that, you know, we could make different money. But I thought all of our benefits, if you were a teacher in the state of Georgia, were all the same, but they're not. So that kind of miffed me, actually. And so I went home and started looking at stuff. And sure enough, you know, based on the size of the system, that depends on what your fees are, because it takes a certain amount of money. You know, you've got a certain amount of money that it takes to administer a plan. Mm-hmm. If you have a smaller number of people, they pay more per person. Well, if you get a larger number of people, it's like taxes. It goes down per person charge. So I thought, okay, what if I could save everybody 1% over a 30-year period? What does that mean? So 1% savings over a 30-year period with just the average contribution that people make in the United States equals out to about 45 grand. So I'm like, hey, if we can save 1%, that's 45,000 more you have in your retirement savings at the end compared to somebody next door to you. That is definitely worth it.
Yeah. So
that began the journey of creating CERC.
Yeah, 1% is a big number when you span it out over 30 years or even longer over retirement. I can't imagine how much money you've saved people over this. That's what came to my mind is sure. Like, it'd be kind of crazy if you could actually calculate out like the opportunity cost of switching and stuff and how much money you've actually saved
people. And we've done that. We've got probably 15 systems that are in right now. It took me 4 years to build it. We've been live since this October 1st will be 2 years that we've been live. And we've got just under 50 million in assets in the plan, but we've got some very large systems that have it's kind of interesting because once they say yes, then you have to, there's about an 8-week implementation. We are a single vendor. So the way it's set up is very interesting. We actually, if you think about three dinner plates sitting in front of you, the center plate would be CERC, the Southern Education Retirement Consortium. I'm the executive director. Any system that joins CERC becomes a board member on the CERC board. Then the right-hand plate, so to speak, would be our registered investment advisor. That's Eric Hansen. He actually goes out. He looks at the fund lineup. He determines all of the different things, brings that information to the board. If we need to put a watch on something or remove something, he's monitoring that. Then the plate to the left is actually the record keeper. Now, that's kind of the people that you're more familiar with. In our case, it's Corebridge. Corebridge was really, not to mention they were best price, but they were the probably the only company that I found that was in any position to do the volume and maintain the level of service that we were going to need because they had a stronger ground game than anybody. So what Corebridge does is deals directly with the system. They actually do the payroll deductions. They do all that stuff through the system, and they provide some ground game as far as advisors as well. And as we grow, I'm actually bringing on somebody as well very soon that's going to help us with education and really kind of help us build our ground game because we're not just Georgia. We're actually the entire Southeast minus Florida. And one of the pieces of that is because it's going to be so large, the savings is going to be greater and greater because every 25 million in assets that comes into the plan, our price actually drops. So there's a $25 fee to be part of CERC. There's $20 per year fee to be part of CERC. That will eventually go down over time. There's a $25 fee for the record keeper. And then out of the gate, we were at 38 basis points to begin with. And we're going to continue to go down. We're actually, we've already met our second price drop already, and we'll hopefully be dropping soon. I calculated it up. You talk about savings. I calculated it up roughly for the state of Georgia. If half the systems in the state of Georgia, just kind of a clean average half, went with CERC, even at our highest price point, which we've already dropped from, over the next 30 years, we would save them approximately $4.6 billion in fees. That's billion with a B.
And that's insane.
Yeah, that's generational wealth that stays in people's pockets. So to put it on a smaller scale, if you have like 600 employees in your system, over a 20 to 25 year period, we're looking at a savings right around $15 million in that particular community. So, you know, having been an educator for years, I changed people's lives. Then going into procurement, I helped people that help change lives, you know. And now when I realize that, I'm like, you know what? I'm back in the business of changing lives. And the unique thing about me is I'm actually a state employee under the teacher retirement system myself. I don't make any commission off any of this at all. We have a cooperative purchasing agency. The $20 per person per year comes back into us. And then we actually, we profit share back with the 35 systems that created us based on how much they use our warehouse. So then that money comes back as a credit to the warehouse. So basically what we're doing is we're supplementing everything that we're doing as we're going along. And it's created a situation where, you know, more and more we're actually becoming a household name in many, many different ways.
Well, that sounds great. Like, you should be impressed with yourself because that number, like you said, just when you get to a community level, that's like a significant economy boost of like money that's being able to stay in community, stay within the state and not just going to some black hole of an investment like entity kind of thing. That's fantastic. That's so cool. I, I didn't know where we would go with this, but I'm learning so much and this is awesome.
And I really think that this is going to change the way things are done around the country.
It should.
I belong to an association that has 29 other people like me around the country, and I'm in the process of helping them set up their own regional stuff as well. I get no money for that, but it's the right thing to do. And mm-hmm. I really believe in 10 to 15 years, this will be the way it is done in education. And it will be a single vendor model with basically a consortium like we have. And the beneficiaries are obviously the employees. Also, the beneficiaries are the school systems, because it reduces the amount of stress on them. No longer do they wake up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat trying to figure out, are we in compliance? Well, we cover that compliance. They're still the plan administrator, but they're a co-fiduciary with us. And we're creating the framework that helps everything be in place. And, you know, so that relieves their stress. Also, everything is automated now. So once that 8-week implementation is where Corebridge gets their system to talk to the Corebridge system. Well, once it's in place, each employee actually can have the app on their phone. They can change how much is going into their account from their phone. They can do all kinds of different things, see what their fees are. And if they need a hardship loan, they can actually apply for it online, and the system doesn't have to go through all the triplicate paperwork and all the different things mm-hmm. like that. So
wow, yeah. So like you said, you're allowing the school administrators to not wake up in the middle of the night worried about this, because they're exactly. they're handing it off. It's saving people money. And like you said, then they don't have to go through their supervisor or whatever and file all this HR paperwork. That's maybe an uncomfortable situation for a hardship loaner. That's cool. That's awesome stuff. This has been fascinating.
The crazy thing is compared to what people are paying right now, if they have multiple vendors, you'd think, okay, if I have more than one vendor, that's going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. No, because nobody has a big enough market share to make it worth it to be competitive in any way. So by being the single vendor, so when we come into a system, they have to get rid of all their other vendors. They can only have us. And at first, you know, it took some time. I really had to kind of stop, think, pray about this. You know, this could mm-hmm. affect other people's business. And do I want to make that choice? And, you know, who's better suited to do it than me? Because I have no greed factor in this at all. The only thing I have is helping people. So I'm the right person at the right time to do this, to help people. And when you think about that generational wealth, there's a couple ways to create generational wealth. One is to build some type of empire because you're just an entrepreneur. The other, and the most significant for most people, is their home. They buy their home. That's where they build their generational wealth. Well, the only other real kind of additional piece is retirement. So if you're saving for retirement, that's the additional generational wealth that you're building. So, you know, you think about a school system with 600 employees, 15 million in that community over a 20-year period. You know, that's a game changer for that entire community. And it's mm-hmm. a game changer for those folks and for their children. And it's money that would have left. Had we not
just disappeared.
Exactly. So it's kind of the no-brainer of no-brainers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's pretty neat.
Awesome. Well, I would love to, let's move towards how people can talk about money in their workplace and things like that. That was fantastic to learn about. And I almost, when you were talking about ways to get generational wealth, I was going to say you unlocked an extra one to create generational wealth for other people.
Sure.
Because that's what this is doing, essentially, is you're changing the system so that other people can have that wealth for themselves. But let's say someone is at their school and their retirement options are not great. It's less than that 60%. Maybe they're taking a 60% pay cut. How do they speak up about retirement options?
Well, you know, having conversations about money with your fellow employees is important to begin with. You know, hey, what are you doing? How are you putting it away? Looking at one of the hardest things to figure out is if you're with a company, what are your actual fees? Because mm-hmm. if it's a multi-vendor system, you probably have a higher priced annuity product. You probably have a TPA or third party administrator fee, because if you have multiple vendors, the system usually has to hire an additional third party administrator to herd the cats, so to speak, and mm-hmm. keep everything under control. So you may be paying, you know, up to $35 a year, $40 a year just for a third party administrator, even though it doesn't directly affect you. It helps the system keep everything together. So kind of finding out what your system has and saying, hey, what about a consortium? Is there any consortiums that are near us? And of course, you know, we're focused on the Southeast, but if there's a system anywhere in the country that really has no other options and they want to go with us, I can't guarantee that we will, but my board, which is made up of superintendents, we've decided that we will entertain, you know, reaching out to other people. I really think it needs to be regional because, you know, the Northeast is a completely different animal than the Southeast. In Georgia, we don't have teachers unions. They have teachers unions in the Northeast. We, you know, everything is kind of a different climate. So, you know, I'm well suited to this climate because I've been here for, you know, 25 years. You need somebody in your area that kind of understands your needs, that type of thing. So, but if people don't have any other options, we're certainly open to helping them.
That's awesome. I love the idea of just figure out what your plan is and that'll be okay. Get started with that. Ask your coworkers about what they're doing. And that could even be like, hey, what are you invested in? And maybe they don't even know what kind of options you have. And that's an opportunity to just say, hey, can we get like an educational presentation one of these days or something? Like, can we just get some education around it too? So
sure.
Next, I want to talk about your money experience a little bit. How did you learn about money?
Actually, I was 19 and I was a parapro in Michigan. And the secretary said to me one day, the VALIC guy is coming. And I said, what is a VALIC guy? And she said, well, that's the guy that comes, that helps, you know, he'll help you take some money out of your check and put it aside for you. And it's for retirement. So the VALIC guy came and sure enough, I got hooked up with back then it was an annuity. And so that started kind of those conversations. And, you know, with money, one thing that you need to understand is you're never going to know it all. You're never going to be the expert. You're always going to be a student of learning how to deal with that money. And, you know, once you have like an annuity product, you know, they're putting it in things that they're putting it in. And if you're in an annuity, what you need to know is you need to know what you're paying in fees, all of the things. And sometimes fees aren't called fees. So you really have to dig through and basically harass your advisor into giving you all the information. But then once, if you have a mutual fund product, then that opens flexibility. Now you can start putting money in different places. You can start focusing where that goes. And there's some fund fees that go along with that and stuff, but you can go higher risk. You can go lower risk. It gives you a lot more flexibility. But again, you have to be a constant student of what's going on. And, you know, the beautiful thing is about the internet, your podcast in particular, people can come and they can learn about things and in an entertaining way. And it doesn't feel like school or work. It just helps you get a better understanding of things.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you said someone came and started talking about retirement that got the conversation going. I think that's kind of the same thing for me. I was sitting in one of my first couple jobs that had a 401k and they had this meeting where everyone had to come to. And I'm thankful for that they had some sort of progress and system in place where it's like, hey, here, come learn and come talk about it for a moment. And then that gets all the questions going in your mind. And then you can ask your coworkers, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube, things like that. So just kind of plant those seeds is what I'm hearing. Get those little things going and realize, I love to say recently, I've been on this idea that one, we're not going to turn around our money situation overnight. Sure. But we're also not going to learn everything overnight. So kind of give yourself a break when it comes to figuring all this out, because there's a lot to learn.
There is a lot to learn. Exactly. But it can be fun. And, you know, one of the things to remember for anybody, if they take away one thing from this, the time you spend in the marketplace is the most important. Mm-hmm. So if you're 18 and you start putting away now, even if it's not a lot of money, the time you spend in the market actually equates to more money than necessarily, you know, if you're at the last 5 years and you put a ton of money in, you know, yes, that's beneficial. But if you didn't put that much money in and you were in from the time you were 18, it's actually better. So time in the marketplace is the most important thing. So, you know, if it's only $25, that's what I started with. I started with $25 and that was like $17 after, you know, because it was pre-tax out of my check. So it only affected, I was putting 25 away, but it was only taking like 17 out of my check. So,
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the time is the biggest factor. That's what, like, if you start playing with one of those visual compound interest calculators, I think that's what can get it to click in a lot of people's minds. So how have your views, so you started 19 and you've, I'm sure, learned a lot since then. Mm-hmm. How have your views on money changed while you were developing and putting the SCRC in place?
It's actually twofold because before I put CERC in place, I had put what's called AEPA, which is the Association of Educational Purchasing Agencies. It's a national cooperative for us. And we earn 2% of all sales that go through that. So you think, okay, 2%, you know, you hear about 2% cash back, this, that, the other. 2% is not a lot of money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just not. However, we did last year with that contract, we did $29.6 million with that contract. So that's almost $500,000 in profit that came in just off that contract. 2% is a huge amount of money. Sales tax, 7%. If I was making 7%, I would not, on my sales for that stuff, I would not be able to give the money back to the systems enough. I would have to start doing something. It's so much money. So when you start talking about, okay, I'm paying, you know, I'm paying 2%, 2.5% on my annuity, 3%. Oh, that's a ridiculous amount of money. So my views on this have actually changed that small percentages equate to a lot of money over time. And so it's very, very important to pay attention to that. And compound interest is one of those things where it's kind of confusing, but the more you get a grasp on it, it's like a, you know, if you double your payments on a 30-year mortgage, you'll pay it off in 7 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The amount of money you're saving in interest is just ridiculous because you're knocking down that principal. So,
yeah,
I could say that's awesome. Basically that's the stuff that I've learned. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic stuff. Thank you so much. I love this conversation. I think there's a lot of pieces people can pull from it. And my last question we'll answer here in a moment is, what do you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money? But I'd love to give you a moment to plug yourself. Where can people find the CERC online, find you online and such? Sure.
So CERC Online is basically CERCSolutions.com, and that's our website, and you can actually email me through the website. My website or my email is also kbenson@cpa4schools.com, and certainly I'm open to anybody asking me anything, that type of thing. I will hesitate to say that any third-party administrators, anybody that wants to add products to what I'm doing right now, I'm not in a place to do that yet. That may be in the future, but that's down the road, because we are simplifying what we're doing for folks. And until we have, you know, that settled, I don't want to complicate the waters with any additional stuff. So if you're a vendor, you know, keep my email address, but you give me about 2 years before you contact me, because I'm not going to add anything right now.
Well, there you go. I like the idea of keeping it simple. That's something I think a lot more people need to practice. We tend to throw too many things into the mix and then we get confused. Got a million different investing apps, stuff like that. So there's a great takeaway from today's episode. But Kevin, what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Probably time in the market. I started early, but then there was times when I, you know, jumped out and didn't put in and different things like that. And there's one other thing that I wish I would have known early on, is that if, say, you're a teacher and you teach in somewhere for 5 years and you cash in your retirement. That's what I did in Michigan. I was in Michigan for 4 years. I cashed in my retirement. And years later, I wanted to buy it back. Well, you can actually use your 403B pre-tax money to buy that back, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. So for any educators out there that have been in one state and moved to another and maybe they cashed it out or whatever, you can use that 403B money to buy it back. So that's one thing I wish I would have known sooner, because when I cashed it in, I literally got $1,200. And then when I bought it back 25 years later, it cost me $29,000. Now, you say, oh, $29,000 for 4 years, that's a lot of money. However, if you think of 60% of my salary for 4 years, that's not very much money to buy back 4 years. You know what I'm saying? So that's 4 years of my life that I don't have to work additional if I don't want to. Gives me flexibility if I need to. But so that would be, time in the market, and then also being able to buy back years with that, or if you have military time, that type of thing. And of course, that's for educators, you know.
Yeah. And I think the second point just emphasizes the talk about money with your peers, because there might be one person that knows that and you get onto that a little bit sooner and then you're able to take care of it. So this has been fantastic, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us. I've learned a ton. I'm sure everyone listening has. I've never heard of this. I can't remember the word, but
Southern Education Retirement Consortium, or CERC.
Consortium, yeah, that word.
Okay.
I've never heard of those before, so this has been really educational for me, so thank you so much for joining.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you so much to Kevin for that fantastic interview, and I know I learned a ton. I had never heard of CERC or any sort of investment program like this, but I learned a ton. And his money that he's saving people through retirement fees is crazy. There is so much money that he's being able to impact and put back into people's pocket by avoiding fees. But let's talk about the money talking points. First, I want to talk about what retirement changes would you like to see at work? Well, I would like to see a Roth option with my workplace 401k, and I've mentioned and asked about it before, and getting more people on board to ask about it would be helpful because it's hard for one person to change the entire system. But sometimes there's costs involved with changes like this, so you may need to be aware of that. I could bring more research to my HR department about the Roth option instead of just asking, but more research around the costs or maybe other companies that could help run the 401k, that could be an approach for you to take. So what is going through your mind? What changes would you like to see in your retirement plan at work? Talk about this with your coworkers. Maybe this is a good water cooler conversation to have with a friend. Ask them, hey, have you looked into our retirement plan too much? Is there anything that you think could be better? And then you could say, hey, let's work on that together and present that to HR and we can get that changed, because that's going to be awesome when you do see that change come to fruition. The second money talking point is, how could you start talking about money with your coworkers? Well, this is an easy one to get started with. Ask about your 401k like we just talked about. Ask about the company match. Are your coworkers getting the company match? This could be an awesome opportunity to teach them what the company match is. Maybe they don't know, and teaching others is fun when it comes to money, because if you're listening to this podcast or other financial podcasts, you're likely doing pretty solid with your finances, and it's probably something you enjoy learning about, and I'd be willing to bet it's something you're going to enjoy talking and teaching about. And a side note, if it's something you enjoy talking about, please consider coming on the show. Reach out and let me know if you would like to be a guest or if anyone you know has a money story to share. I'd love to sit down and talk about money with anybody. But that's going to wrap up the money talking points in today's episode. I want to pass it on over to the handy hint next. Today's handy hint goes hand in hand with our money talking points, pun intended, but today's handy hint is talking about money with your coworkers. And Kevin pointed out something that was brought up to him in a simple conversation about retirement, that he was allowed then to figure out that he needs to figure out how to change his retirement options. Something someone brought up, talked about retirement, and then he said, whoa, our benefits are completely different even though we work in the same state. And I had a similar story from my credit union days. Someone came in and talked about money among coworkers and things like that, taught us about the 401k. And I've prompted conversations about this in my current job, where I was able to ask HR to provide education, because like I said earlier, your workplace retirement program or company will offer this, and it's something that they will set up to educate you on your 401k. So today's handy hint is to talk about money with your coworkers. Start simple and learn a little bit more about your workplace retirement program and ask HR for some education, because they know people who can give it to you. So that's today's handy hint. Let's pass it on to Money Talk Mastery next. Today's Money Talk Mastery is about time in the market. Though this isn't going to be a long segment, I do think it's something that's important for all of us to master and understand. We need to know the power of compound interest. So go to Google or Bing or whatever search engine you use and search compound interest visualizer or compound interest calculator, and then take a look at a chart as you plug in numbers. If you got started today investing $25 over the next 30 years, what would it grow to be? And look at the difference between what you actually put in versus what it grew to be. Like, what is the difference between what you contributed and what the earnings are? Because that's where it always gets people. That's where you always learn the power of compound interest. And you can also learn the power of starting early. So even if you're well into your 50s, 60s, but if you're especially in your 20s or 30s, there's still so much time where you have the opportunity to let your money grow. But also, make sure you understand fees. As we're talking about this, if you're in your workplace 401k or retirement program, I found that my work's S&P 500 fund was the best one because all the other ones have large fees. So that's something to make sure you consider, because the impact on fees can also be great and reduce the amount of time and money that you're going to have in the market. There was one story recently that I heard on ChooseFI where a listener shared that they were being charged a $75 fee every time they contributed to this one mutual fund, but they were only contributing $100 at a time. And that's knocking down a lot of potential growth. So today's Money Talk Mastery is to make sure you focus on time in the market and understand the power of compound interest. If you have any questions about compound interest, if something came to mind, please send me an email. My email's in the show notes and I'd love to talk about it. Next, I want to pass it on to Trendy Talk. So in today's Trendy Talk segment, I want to kind of talk about trendy products and things like that. There was a new Apple announcement recently, brand new iPads, and these are expensive. Technology is expensive. New products are expensive, but the trends push you to buy the latest and greatest tech. And I wanted to talk about a savings opportunity that can go hand in hand with trendy spending. Look at buying refurbished products. They're a great way to save money on something you want. And the other idea is to buy a generation behind, because those prices are going to come down as manufacturing gets better and more efficient for older products. But it's a great way to save some money. I recently learned this. Never buy a new product. Always buy something that's either been used and refurbished, or if it's a generation behind, you can still save several hundreds of dollars for a new last gen or a used but well refurbished product. So make sure you look into refurbished products, because some of them aren't too great, but this is a great opportunity. And if you're looking at new technology, consider looking at the refurbished market, especially if it's an Apple product. But this is a great way to save when you feel that pull to buy the latest and greatest tech. Look at refurbished or last generation products. I want to pass it on over to the Money Matters Minute next. Welcome to the Money Matters Minute. I'm going to try to keep this in a minute just since it's in the name, but today I'm talking about side hustles in this Money Matters Minute. And this is relevant to the DoorDash article that I found. Side hustles are not all they're cut out to be. There's a difference between a side hustle and a business you're running, and a side hustle likely isn't going to make you financially independent or super wealthy. But the article that I found on NerdWallet is titled, "How Much Does DoorDash Pay? I Tried Delivering Food to Find Out." And the article highlights that you get paid less than minimum wage, they have to do it less than ideal times if you really want to make the money. And my main takeaways from my experience DoorDashing in this article is that taxes are something you have to pay for yourself. There's a reason the government takes them out automatically, because it's so much easier and because so many people likely would forget to pay their taxes if it didn't come out automatically. And with side hustles, and especially DoorDash, it's not all profit. Consider gas costs, wear and tear on your vehicle, and your sanity of being stuck in traffic. Why do people want food delivered? It's because they don't want to go out and sit in traffic and just sit there. So they're paying someone else to do it for them. So consider your sanity also when thinking about DoorDash. But the link, of course, is in the show notes, and I think we made that in just over a minute. But that's going to do it for today's episode. So let's wrap up this episode next. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I thought it was fascinating to learn what Kevin is doing with the CERC and how much money people are saving. And small conversations can go a long way. You heard in Kevin's interview, he was talking with a coworker or a peer at a different institution in the state, and they had way different retirement benefits because of their size. And that prompted him to go in, make the changes, and now he's saving a ton of money for a ton of people with the program he's put in place. So keep talking and start small with a peer. And then Kevin kept talking and talking about money with other people, and that led to big changes. So what small conversation can you start now to get those small changes going and then eventually lead to bigger changes to get you to where you want to go? What's a small question you have in mind? Shoot me an email or leave a comment on social media and let's get talking about money. But thank you all for listening. Be sure to check out SkylarFleming.com as well as Kevin Benson and NerdWallet, all linked in the show notes. There's some great episodes coming up, including one about the financial tug of war we're all waging with ourselves. So make sure you're subscribed and share with a friend so we can all do better with money together. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.